So I encourage you to find your sermon notes in the bulletin as we continue on the sermon series of resolving everyday conflict. And sometime this week, my wife Jennifer was saying, you know, Dirk, I think people are getting antsy. They want like actual stuff to do when dealing with your neighbor. You know, not just, oh, you know, here's an idea or here's a foundation or here's a way to, you know, just overlook. But what do we do when we're in conflict? So let's get real. And that's where we're getting time to get real. So let's look at where we've gone so far. Just a quick review of the last couple things. Okay, we've got conflicting desires. There's a power in the gospel. There are dangerous edges of being aggressive or being avoiding. We need to go higher, to remember that God is in this. And when we bring God into the situation, it transforms it. This morning, we are getting real. Okay, so get real statement number one is the number one barrier to conflict resolution is pride. It's pride. It's, I don't want to admit it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to address this. It will look bad on me. There's this thing of pride in us that if we are insecure in ourselves, in God, that we hold on to ourselves and we can't get to a place where we can truly resolve conflict well. It's pride. It keeps us from going where we need to go. And I was thinking about going where we need to go, and we don't really know about crawl spaces too much in upstate New York. Upstate New York, we have basements. You know, but other parts of the country, houses don't have basements because they don't have low frost lines, and they have these wonderful things called crawl spaces. And they're about this big, and they're dirt on the bottom, spider webs on the top, they're musty, nasty, dirty critters and whatever, and they're just not pleasant places. Well, Jennifer and I lived in Kentucky for a number of years, and our house there had a crawl space. And you just didn't want to go down there. But that's where the heating system was and the air conditioning system is and a few other utilities. And, you know, sometime, you know, I'm working, trying to figure out why the heater's not working, trying to figure out, I'm doing everything that I could outside of the crawl space. Because the last thing you want to do, and I so didn't like the crawl space that I went in, nope, can't figure it out, went right back out. I hired a person, paid him $150 to crawl into that crawl space, flip a switch, and come out. You know, because I didn't want to go there. And in conflict, there are some places we don't want to go, but if we start there first, it actually really helps. So let's go a slide or two ahead. In conflict, the last place we want to go is really the first place we want to start. So if you're filling in blanks, the last place we want to go, no, any place but the crawl space, any place but that dark, ugly place, any place but whatever it is, it's the first place we need to start. And in conflict, that's self. So there's a nice box on your notes, and you can write in the word self. That's really where we need to go first. We need to start by examining ourselves, and then we can really get into conflict. Oh, no. Get into resolving conflict. Let's hear what Jesus says about this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Just a couple verses from Jesus this morning. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me help you take that speck out, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! This is Jesus speaking. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove a speck from your brother's eye. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, we're going to get back to this passage, but right now some questions. Do I want to get better, not bitter? Do I want to grow and develop as a person? Do you want to find God's will for your life? Now, some of you may not answer yes to all those, but I think most of you are here today because those are true statements. I want to get better, not bitter. I want to grow personally and develop personally. I want to find what God wants for my life and follow God's ways. If that's true, if that's yes, then there are things you have to do. That's just always the way it is with life. That hey, if we want to change, there are things that we have to do. It's sort of, you know, get real statement number, whatever it is. You know, we have to change. We have to examine our lives, and upon that examination, we need to deal with what we find. If we want to get better, then in conflict, we need to ask at least two questions. First question, what is my part of the conflict? So write in my part. Dealing with self, dealing with pride, what is my part of the conflict? And then what do I need to do to own it? To say, yep, that's my part. We identify it and we own it. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Because in every conflict that you have a part. If you didn't have a part, there wouldn't be a conflict. It takes two to have a conflict. That's the nature of it. That, you know, you. There we go. Get real statement number three or four, whatever it is. You have a part in conflict. Every conflict you're in. And we naturally say, oh, but it's their fault. It's their fault. Well, that's, I think, why Jesus starts this passage. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, do not judge or you will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you're going to be judged. This isn't about judgment of God and wrath and heaven and hell. This is just dealing with people. Your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your friend, your coworker. Do not judge or you will be judged. Now, if you read the Bible and know it, and know even all the sayings of Jesus, there's clearly room for saying, yep, this is good and that's bad. That's going to help, that's going to hurt. You're hurting yourself. There is judgment all over the place in a positive, constructive way. So Jesus starts with, though, do not judge. So that can't possibly mean never make a judgment call, never judge. But I think what he's saying is our natural inclination is to look at ourselves last. Our natural inclination is to look at other people and say, oh, wrong, 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 your fault, your fault, your fault. It's like, no, don't start there. Don't start there. Look at yourself. Because the same way you treat others, they're going to treat you. Same way you judge others, they're going to judge. You start with an attack, you are going to get attacked back. That's the way it is. So what is my part? Well, you may say, I just can't see it. I mean, sometimes it is hard to see our part in conflict. We're so blinded by emotions or we're so blinded by the grievous nature of something done to us. It's hard. So I encourage you to take a note from Scripture, of Psalm 139, where it invites God to help us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. Inviting God to point out, oh, the way you responded there, the way you lashed out, the way you ignored, the way you, this might have been part of it. What is my part? And we can do this without fear because God already knows our worst parts and He still loves us. God loves you. But we need to admit we have a part. In the Bible, in 1 John, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We've got a part. But maybe we have a big part, but we just have a small part. I love something in the Resolving Everyday Conflict book. I've got a few copies left if you don't have one yet. But in this book, it talks about a saying that they use of, even if I'm only 2% responsible for a conflict, I'm 100%, let's go back, I'm 100% responsible for my 2%. Even if you've just got that little bit, yep, here's how I set it off, or here's how I escalated, or here how I didn't resolve it. Even if you just got that little bit, you are responsible for that little bit. That's your part. You're 100% responsible for it. So you need to see your part, and then you need to own your part. Now, there is a biblical term for owning your part. That biblical term is called confession. That's what confession is. Confession is owning your part. And a good confession can transform a bad situation. And a bad confession can make a not so bad situation horrible. Confessions matter, how we do it. And if we learn to do it well in biblical ways, it can really help. But if we do what the world typically does of, well, if I hurt your feelings, yada, yada, yada. But really, you've got to understand, da, 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 da. And maybe, you know, there are all these things we put into confessions that you see, you know, famous people and not so famous people and people we know making confessions that just make people less satisfied because the person isn't really owning their part. That's what confession is. So in this resource, there's 7 A's of confession. Also on the back of your card, they're on the front of your sermon notes, the back of your sermon notes, in the book. I think these are great. The 7 A's of confession. And you don't have to use all 7 all the time. This week I got a great confession. And I asked permission, and I'm going to show you this great confession. All right. Yeah, I forgot to cancel it. I'll pay you back. That's a great confession. Did not cover all 7 of the A's. Didn't need to. So this was about Spotify. You know, one of those online things where 30 days free until you forget to cancel, and then it's not free anymore. And Tobias had signed up for one of those. Oh, duh, you know, I'll cancel it. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the credit card statement. I'm like, didn't cancel. And it's like, I owned it. He owned it right there. I forgot to cancel it. And I'll pay you back. We're going to talk about how this fits in a little bit more. But it's just a reminder of we need to tailor our confession, our ownership, to what the situation is. So let's look at these 7 A's of confession. And I'm just going to go through them pretty quickly. I'm not going to try and, you know, really amplify them too much. In the book, there are other resources online if you type in Peacemaker and look for Ken Sandy's work there. But just quickly, number one, address everyone involved. All right, God is always involved. So it is always appropriate to God, I have sinned against you by behaving this way. When we see our part, we own our part before God, and then as far as the offense reaches, we need to confess. So, you know, it's just Tobias and I. He sent me an email. I acknowledged it. Boom, done. Address everyone involved. But sometimes, you know, we explode at a boss. Well, we need to make things right there, but maybe somebody else was listening. And maybe we need to admit our part to others as well. But we don't necessarily need to go further. Of sometimes we are just thinking the wrong thing about somebody, and it's up here, and we need to just take that to God and confess it. So, A1, address everyone involved. When you're owning your part, think of who have I hurt? Who has been impacted by this? And then, I've already addressed this a little bit, avoid if, but, and maybe. They're like death to a confession. Well, if I da-da-da-da-da, you're not owning it then. You're putting it on them. Well, because you got upset, not because I did something wrong. Well, what does but stand for? It stands for rebuttal. It stands for argument against. It stands for, I'm going to erase everything I just said and tell you why it's okay. If you throw a but in there, you are not owning it. You're canceling out that stuff and you're saying, yeah, but I got a reason. And the maybe? Well, if you haven't figured it out yet, then you're what am I really confessing for? Now, sometimes you may need to ask some questions because there may be a maybe in there. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's something else. But if you put it as a, well, maybe I did something wrong. Oh, it helped me understand what I did wrong. And that goes to this next one, admit specifically. It's easy to say, yeah, I blew it. Yeah, I was an idiot. It's much more effective to say, yes, I should have picked you up when I said I did. I didn't. You own it. Specifically, what you did. Give the details. It helps the other person understand that, yes, they've thought about it, they've reflected it, they are owning this. Admit it specifically. And part of that is the following one of acknowledge the hurt. When I didn't pick you up, it embarrassed you. It frustrated you. It disappointed you. Admit specifically, acknowledge the hurt. Now this one is something where you can get a little trouble because you may guess things and be wrong. So again, it's okay to check in of, I've got to imagine that was really frustrating for you. Are there other ways that it made you feel about me? Are there other ways that impacted you? Are there other ways? And check in. What are those hurts? Acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge that this is real stuff to real people and you are responsible. And if you're responsible, you need to accept the consequences. When you are working with someone, confessing it, owning it, I'll pay you back. You know, Tobias doesn't know the impact of that little email he sent me. But when he said, yeah, I'm owning it, I accept the consequences, it was so well written, that whole 7 words he sent me, that I was just about to say, don't even worry about it. You know, because he was so willing to admit it and to accept the consequences, it changed my attitude towards it. From frustration about, to, oh wow. And so I didn't. I was like, hey, he needs to learn this lesson. But I also let him know that Spotify would probably be more gracious than me. So I let him know that he could email them and they did refund the money. But we need to be willing and ready to accept the consequences. Maybe that is paying for damages done. Maybe that is, I understand how it's going to be difficult for you to trust me for a while. There are all sorts of consequences to our part in a conflict, but we need to be willing to accept that and to say, yeah, I'm going to help take care of this. I'm going to do my part. That's a good step. The next one's also good. Alter your behavior. Making a pledge to them, yeah, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to do something different. You can count on me. Alter your behavior. You need to say that I'm going to do this, and then guess what? You actually have to do it. All right? But that is owning it, of saying, yeah, I did something wrong. I'm going to do my best not to do it again. And sharing that with them, to do things differently. And then the final thing is to ask for forgiveness. And again, not everything requires all of these. You know, if there's not a big hurt, maybe there's not even a need to ask for forgiveness. But we still own our part. We start with the, I'm sorry. Here's what I did. Here's how it played out. Here's what I'm going to do differently. And then we ask for forgiveness. But what's that first word? Ask. They may say no. They may say not yet. They may say I'm not. You're not demanding forgiveness. You're asking. And it may be that they say, and you give them time. You give them grace. You've done your part, and you've asked, but it's, you're not doing all this to manipulate them into forgiving you. You're doing all this to own your part, and then they do what they view as appropriate. Now, if they're a brother and sister in Christ, hopefully they've read in here as we've been sharing, forgive others as you've been forgiven in Christ. Hopefully they know this is somewhere they need to get. And maybe you can work together to help get there. But our job is to say, will you forgive me? These 7 things can transform a conflict situation. When we enter into it, not judging, but owning our part, there is real power that happens. it takes away that pride, it takes away the self, and all of a sudden we're coming in a completely different posture into it. And the funny thing is, often that changes their attitude. That breaks down the walls. That creates a pathway that conflict resolution can happen in. And we're going to talk next week about forgiveness and what that means, and how we can even encourage people to see their part. But we start by seeing our part. And when we see our part clearly and express that well, it really helps the other person to see their part more effectively, because they're not going back to attack. They almost are forced into reflection. And that's a powerful thing. We need to focus in conflict on evaluation much more than judgment. And when we do that, God can move us into confession rather than accusation. And when we do that, we can really be effective in resolving everyday conflict. But it starts between us and God. It said, address everyone involved. God is involved in everything in our lives. And so we can go to God again and again saying, I'm not who I am yet to be. I'm not who you want me to be. I fall short of your glory. I blew it here, blew it there. And these seven things work just as well with God as anyone else. So we're going to go into a time of confession now. And we're going to use these seven things to guide us. As I said, we normally do our confession earlier in the service. But I wanted to have this framework before we turn to God in prayer. So let's look, Josh, at the next section. It can be as simple as saying, loving God, against you have I sinned. God is involved. I am a sinner. No ifs, ands, buts, maybes. I am a sinner, full stop. In my life, I have sinned in these ways. Let's just take a moment in silent prayer, praying our faults to a loving God who forgives. And when we see our sins before God, it brings us to the next steps. Let's go to the next slide. I acknowledge that what I have done breaks your heart and reflects poorly on you. When we see our sins before God's holiness and God's perfection, we can see how it can hurt God. In Genesis, it talks at one point when people are sinning that it breaks God's heart to see us walking in paths of destruction and pain. And there are still consequences. I know that my bad decisions can lead to bad results that sometimes I have to live with. That God sometimes is grace and in His mercy, He takes us out of our bad situations and our bad things where we've made poor decisions and sinned against God's ways. But other times, there are consequences that we still need to live with. But God is there with us. And then, through the power of your Spirit, we pledge to seek God's ways and live differently. And in all this, we say, God, forgive me. And God, we do pray for your forgiveness. We know that you, through the blood of Christ, has offered forgiveness to us. Help us to accept this, to live in this, and through this position of humility, through this position of knowing you are God and we are not, you are perfect and we are not, help us to be more effective peacemakers in this world. Amen and amen. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that we are forgiven, that we are washed clean, made new, and God loves us immensely and walks with us continually. Know you are loved by God, forgiven by God, and I just pray that you take that and live a life of joy and hope and peace before God.